Good morning, brethren. I need to start off just a minute, just a little off subject, because if I don't, my wife will beat me later. She wanted me to remind all of you, we are, I think you understand, we are kind of busy here the last few weeks, trying to prepare for a wedding that's coming up in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tomorrow, actually. And the wedding is going to be at our house, and unfortunately, because of space, we weren't able to invite everyone. And I hope you understand that, because there are bride's side and groom's side and all that good stuff. But what I do want to invite you all of you, is Saturday night we are having a luau at our house. And that is kind of a tradition we started with our first, when she got married, back 13, 14 years ago, something like that. And so every one of our children that's gotten married, we've always had a luau instead of the standard rehearsal dinner, I guess is what you would call it. So we would really like to invite all of you and hope all of you can make it. You're all welcome to come. That will be 2 weeks from tonight, and it will be at our house. And so I think most of you know where we live, but we can get that information to you if you don't know. But hopefully all of you will be able to attend. We just we wanted to make sure that everybody understood that that is an open invitation to all of you. And it'll be at 7 o'clock. See, I can read too. And the plane will be landing at... Oh, okay. All right. Also, a reminder that for the choir next week, we will be having choir practice right after services. So please bring your music and have all of that. I forgot to get that announcement in, but that is for next week. So that will be our start for more special music. You know, I wanted to ask today, have you ever stopped for a minute and thought back to where you first knew that God was working in your life? That first, very first instant where you can remember, going all the way back, whether it was a month ago, a year ago, 100 years ago, however long back it might have been. Can you remember? Think about that. Can you remember an exact point in time where you knew that God was working in your life? Maybe it was when you were baptized. Maybe as you went through that part of your life, that was where you saw that change, or you felt that there was something different. You felt that there was more of a presence, more of something for you to believe in, for you to wrap yourself around and to be a part of. Maybe it was an event in your life, something that happened, something traumatic or something that was special, something that in some way, something happened and you said, God is in my life. Having grown up in the church, I've always, from the time I was tiny, I've always heard about God. I've always been taught about God. I've always known that there was something out there greater than man, that there was something out there that we are searching for and something out there to be a part of. There was something different. And I've always had that understanding. I've always had that. And honestly, I would think, no, I can be honest. There were a lot of times where I took a lot of that for granted, because it was so second nature. I mean, it wasn't like I had to compare it to anything else, because it was always right there. Learning about God, knowing God's plan, knowing when God was going to change this world, when Christ was going to return, not knowing when, but knowing it was coming, that there was a kingdom to come and still to come, that there were things that were going to change. But to try and find that special, that perfect moment, I can't say that I can actually remember that. I really can't. And I'm being honest with you. I can't say that I remember that one special time, because there are so many times I can look back in my life and always I felt that God was there, that He meant something, that His presence in my life was there. I could sense it. I could feel it. I knew it. inside, I knew that he was there. But you know, I think all of you understand, and I had this conversation with my son a few weeks ago, and we were talking about this, about that instant, that time when you realize that God's a part of your life, that you are called and you have an understanding. And he said, you know, Dad, maybe that point in time for you was earlier than that. And I said, well, earlier than that? How can it be earlier than that? I mean, I can remember all the way back to, you know, pretty little, you know, being in the church. And he said, well, if God was working in your life, maybe it was back even before that, because, and we started talking about my father. And I think all of you understand that my father went through World War II. And in the last few weeks, we've had a few conversations about that. And, you know, he went through some very traumatic things during World War II. And he went through a point in time where he was injured and he was, for no better term, he was out of it, I'll say, for a little while. For more than a few minutes, but for days, not knowing where he was, what he was doing. You know, he was injured and, you know, he was transported from the front back to different places and ended up all the way back in California. That's a long travel over a few months period. So when that happened, you know, he was saved. He was, when those around him were not available, were not living anymore, he was still there. And later on, he came back, he got married, and him and his wife had children. That's, I say him and his wife, my parents, okay? My parents, they had kids. Well, they had a couple children, and then they had a daughter. And that daughter didn't live. And so later on, they decided to have another child. Now, maybe if she'd have lived, maybe things would have been different. I don't know. But they had another child, and I'm not a girl. I didn't turn out that way. So, you know, they got me, you know. I was their last, their fourth. Actually, their fifth, but as far as those living, I was their fourth. And so, all of this, you know, you look back at all of this history, these things that have gone on in my life, in their life. Was it all predetermined? Was all of this predestined to happen? Is that God's way of life? Is that what God sets for us? Were all of these things going to happen one way or another? Was God working in my life before I was even around and didn't even know it? You know, some people believe that every event that has happened in our lives was determined for us before we were born. That every trial, every occurrence, marriage, children, death, was all decided by God in advance. If that were true, brethren, then by definition, we would not have the power to make any choices in our lives. No matter what situation came up, we would just have to accept the outcome, even if by making a different choice, things would change. You see, it comes down to choices. All of us have heard the phrase, time and chance, and things can happen to people, even bad things, for no reason. But does this sound like the same God that knows every hair on our head, that is merciful and gave his son for us? What has happened to mankind, the things that happen to this world, the things that go on all around us, is because they forfeited God's protection by turning their back on him. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, in verse 11 it says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. You know this phrase, time and chance, it's the only time I found it in the whole Bible. I did a search on it, I checked It's the only place I found time and chance. Bad things can happen because of the choices we make. Being in the right place at the right time or being in the wrong place at the wrong time, it's still a choice. The things that happen in our lives, brethren, they're choices. They're not predetermined. We can't lose sight of that. We have a say in what happens in our lives. So how does that work in the concept of being predestinated? We know without a doubt that we have a creator that is involved in our lives. I'm sure if I went around this room and I ask every one of you, give me an example. Give me something. Something that you remember. Something that's happened in your life where God was a part of it. Where you knew God was there. Where He did something. Something happened. There was a definite occurrence where God was there in your life. I know I could name a dozen. I know one of them, I don't think I've ever told you, one of them was when Noreen and I were young. We had been married for a short period of time. We had been traveling home, and we were almost to where we lived, and we were stopped and sitting, waiting to turn left across traffic. And as we're sitting there, I looked in the mirror, and I saw this car coming behind us. And I knew that car either didn't see that I was stopped or just wasn't paying attention to whatever was going on, because there was no way at the speed he was coming behind us he was going to avoid us. So I reached over across the seat and grabbed my wife, waiting to be slammed into from the back. And as I did that and I looked back in the mirror, the car wasn't there. And I'm like, okay. And I looked to the right, and there went the car in the grass and the gravel down the right side of us. And that was pretty interesting. And I saw the fear on the young man who wasn't very, I'm going to guess 16, 17, wasn't very old driving. And it was a big car. I think it was a big station wagon, something really, really big that would have done a lot of damage had he hit us. And he went down this side of us, and the road that came across, he hit the gravel, and he slid across in front of us, and the traffic coming down the street, coming at us, doing 50 miles an hour, he slid out in front of them, and they hit him and pushed him down the left side of us. So I sat there. He was behind me. He was here. He was there, and he was there, and he never hit us. And I went, whew, thank you, God. That was really good. Boy, those angels were standing out there, got all sides, got us protected, kept that car going all the way around us. You see things like that, and you know there's something greater in your life. You know there's something else out there. You're not on your own. It's those times where God shows us His power and His mercy that we have to remember when things get tough. We have to remember, brethren, we know that without a doubt we have a creator that is involved in our lives. God has consistently worked in people's lives all through history. You know, you go back to Abraham or Noah. You look at the tribe of Israel and what they went through. Many times God was instructing them and wanting them to make right choices. But they had to choose. They had to make the right choice. It wasn't predetermined what was going to happen. They had to choose. And then they're held accountable for the choices that they make. I'm sure at times the people God was working with probably would have preferred that their choices might have been given to them a little differently, that they might have had a little more opportunity. I'm sure if you could go back and ask Abraham, you know, why didn't God give him a son earlier? Why did he wait so long? Or why did he want him to kill his only son? I mean, you know, there were choices he had to make. And he chose to follow God above all. But I'm sure he would have preferred the choices to have been a little easier if all said and done. If you could go back and ask him. Remember, it was all still a choice that Abraham made. He made a choice in how he was going to respond to what God instructed of him. He had to make a choice. God does not predetermine everyone's course of action or everyone's salvation. If God predetermined every choice that a person would make, then how could he judge us when we make a wrong choice? You think about that? If he already said, okay, they're going to do this, 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 and this, and then we'd make a choice, because he gives us that ability, he gives us that chance to make a choice, and then he's going to say, oh, made the wrong choice. Shame on them. They shouldn't have done that. And judge us for it. We are judged by our decisions, but the decisions we make are not predetermined for us. They're our choices we make. And sometimes we make right choices, and sometimes we make wrong choices. Sometimes the choices we make are just a guess, or maybe just a feeling, you know, something's going to happen. Take dinner last night, okay? My wife and my daughter and I went out to dinner last night. And we were sitting there, and I asked them both, I said, do you want me to order for you? And they're like, and I said, no, I can order for you both. I know exactly what each one of you would order. I said, you're going to have this, 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 and this, and you're going to have this to drink. And they went, yeah, that's what I'm going to order. And I said, and you're going to have this, 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 and this, and this to drink. And they went, yeah, that's what I'm going to have. So, they could have made a different choice. Their choices weren't predetermined. But I knew what they were going to order. I mean, you know, time and chance. I've been around enough to see what they do. They're pretty, you know, they're pretty much the same. I knew what they were going to order, you know. Not a whole lot of variance there. Tell you, we go to this restaurant, they're ordering this. You go to this restaurant, they're ordering this. You go to, you know, it's pretty simple. But I didn't have a predetermined understanding that they would definitely order these things. But I had a pretty good idea they would. And that was their choice. They made that choice. I didn't make it for them. God doesn't make our choices for us. He might know what we might do. I'm sure he has a pretty good idea when we're going to screw up and why and how. But he doesn't make that choice for us. Still comes down to us. Still comes down to we have to choose. Because God granted all of us, all of mankind, the freedom to choose. He doesn't know what choices we will make until we make them. But we can choose, and he knows we will. Let's turn back to Romans 8, verse 29. We talk a little more about predestination. Romans 8, verse 29. There. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. God did predetermine that we as humans would be created in the image of his Son. He did predetermine that, as he says here in Romans. And God predetermined that the human race would have the chance at salvation through a calling, through conversion, baptism, and receiving God's Holy Spirit. He did predetermine that. We would have that chance. And God did predetermine that a select few, the first fruits, would be called and given the chance at salvation before Christ returns. We know that. We can read that in the Bible. We can understand that. We know that because of the reference in Matthew 22:14, many are called, but few are chosen. We know that. We know that God has set this in motion. We know what he has predetermined. And it's not our entire lives. It's predetermine how we will look, the image we were created in, that we will have a chance of salvation and we will have a chance to be first fruits. The rest is up to us. We have choices to make. Isn't that great? Choices. Choices to make to screw up or to get it right. We get those options. Let's turn to Ephesians 1 and verse 5. Ephesians 1 and verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And going down to verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. From the beginning, brethren, God planned the purpose for us as human beings to receive his Holy Spirit through his calling and to eventually become his sons and daughters. But even in doing that, he doesn't know what choices we will make. Unlike every other creature on this earth, every bird, every mammal, every living reptile, everything God's created, only one has free moral agency. That's us, the humankind. That's the only one God has given the option to make choices in their life. The ability to make choices. We can choose to do God's will, or we can choose not to. It's up to us. We have that choice. He wants us to choose to do his will, to obey him, to stir up the gifts that he gives us through his Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Any of you know people that don't have a sound mind? They struggle a little bit, maybe because of many different things that they can't think clearly. It might be something in a sickness or something that has caused them that. Medication, I don't know. But their mind isn't sharp. They can't make sound decisions. God gave us that opportunity. So we can make right choices. We have to do it. It's on us, brethren. Through our calling and the laying on of hands, we are able to receive God's Holy Spirit to help us with our needs, to help us constantly seek to obey God in all areas where we have the ability and the responsibility to make a right choice. Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. It doesn't say if we hold on to it for a little while. It doesn't say hold on to it until you get tired. It doesn't say, well, do the best you can and when you quit, it's okay. It says, no, brethren, it says steadfast to the end. To the end. We have to hold steadfast to God. By God allowing us to choose, we reveal to God what's in our hearts. You see, when we make those choices, whatever choice it may be, God sees what we really are. He sees what's in here because it's carried out by our choices we make. So we have to choose how we're going to live. We have to choose God's way. And I know we go to God in prayer and we ask for things from God. We ask for help in our jobs. Or we might ask for the right mate when we're looking to get married. I know I did that. And I know God answered that prayer. I do. I told my wife many times, you know, you're lucky. You got me, you know. Is that what I meant? Yeah, that's what I meant. Something like that. Anyway, I know that we ask for healing. We ask for strength through our trials. We ask God for help to do the right things. We do, brethren. And when God hears us, we have to respond. We have to do our part Turn to John 15, verse 16. Back a little bit. John chapter 15. And verse 16. There it is. It says, from Christ, he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." You see, brethren, we are to bear fruit by using and developing God's Holy Spirit within us. It doesn't just do it on its own. We have a choice to make to do our part to help that Spirit grow. We always read in the New Testament about how they received God's Holy Spirit. We know that in the book of Acts. You can go through, there are many references in Acts about them receiving the Holy Spirit. But the one that always, you know, there are only a few in the Old Testament where it talks about the Holy Spirit, but the one that always comes to mind, and I know it's probably because we sang it in a song, in the song "Created Me a Clean Heart," but it's from the book of Psalms. Let's turn there real quick. This is from Psalms 51. And it's from the words of David in this psalm. Psalm 51, verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10. And like I said, knowing and have sang the song "Created Me a Clean Heart" for so long, and this line of this song always comes to mind in verse 10 where he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." David is asking, pleading to God in this psalm, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." And that's always stuck in my mind. And I want to ask God every day, please don't take your Spirit from me. Don't let me make a stupid choice that costs me your Spirit. We have to remember, brethren, the choices we make affect our lives and affect our future. And so every day we have to be careful that we are choosing wisely. David was asking God for mercy and to not remove the Holy Spirit for him for the choices that he made. We all need to encourage one another, brethren, to help one another to do the right things. All of us still have the free will to do the wrong things. It's part of that same principle. One side is the right way, one side is the wrong way. And the sad part about it is you got the free chance to make both decisions the same. They're both equal. You can choose wrongly just as quick as you can choose the right way. So you have to make a choice. And by helping one another, by encouraging one another, we can help others to make better choices too. All of us still have the free will, brethren. We have to make right choices. We must work daily to stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit through our actions and our work. When we pray to God, our request should include asking God for more of His Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. Luke chapter 11, we read here in verse 13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" To those who ask Him. And turning over just a page to Luke 12 and verse 12, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Brethren, God has promised to help us. He will give us His Holy Spirit when we commit to Him, we make right choices, and we go to Him and ask Him in prayer. He will give us His Holy Spirit. And it's that Holy Spirit that should be guiding us, leading us, directing us in our lives and in the choices we make. It's kind of a circle there. We ask, we receive, we do better. We ask, we receive, we do better. It has to follow that path. It shouldn't be a path that just wanders off that way. It should be a continual growth. It's part of our conversion. A continual growth of asking, receiving, changing. Asking, receiving, and changing. We have to continue that, brethren. Continue. You know, one of the other songs that we used to sing in choir, actually, I still have that song. We might sing it here soon. It's called "You Shall Be Witnesses." And it has a line in it from Acts 1:8, and it says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You remember that line? You shall receive power when God's Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then we shall be God's witnesses. We have been called by God, predetermined, if you will, to be a part of His family, His first fruits, that are reaching out to help and encourage, to lift up and inspire by our actions. Actions that we choose to do. I don't choose your actions. You don't choose my actions. We make our own choices. Now, we can encourage one another, and we should be, to help make better choices by the examples we set. But it's still our choices. We have to choose, and we have to choose wisely. Again, brethren, actions that we choose to do, God tells us in Acts, let's turn back there, Acts 5, verse 32. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. "And we are His witness to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." Again, it comes back. We obey. God gives us more of His Holy Spirit. God helps us. We ask for it. We obey. That circle just continues. Isn't it great? That opportunity for us. Again, by the choices we make, we can either choose to obey God, or we can choose not to. We have been given the Holy Spirit to help us with our choices. It's not about the physical cares of this world, but a focus on the future and the higher aspects of God's plan. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 16. We see here Romans 14, verse 16. "Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." So we make choices in our life, brethren, to be acceptable to God, to bear fruit. Again, it is a pattern and a responsibility that I know I've said before. I know I've given that same thought process in another sermon. And I've said it before, but I'm saying it again, brethren, because it's something we have to be reminded of. It's something to me, maybe it's just me, but I believe it's something so important, something so responsible and so important in our lives that we take for granted. The daily grind we all go through of trying to change our ways, to do what we know is right, even though we really want to do something else. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You know, you go, "I got to do this. I don't want to do that. I want to do this instead. But I have to do that because that's what's right." And so we try to do that. And we try and get ourselves to do those things. And we have to constantly fight that human nature that says, "I don't want to do it." But we have to, brethren. We have to. God expects it of us. We have to make those right choices. To do what we know is right, even though we want to do something else. "Indeed and in truth, we search out God's will first and foremost above all things." That's where we have to live. That's where we have to be. Let's turn to 1 John 3 and verse 18. 1 John chapter 3, And reading here, beginning in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Brethren, we have to understand in all things, are we truly seeking to please God? Do we understand that principle? Are we truly seeking to please God? When we pray to God for His Holy Spirit to fill us and to guide us, we are praying for that, right? Right? We all get that, right? I mean, we are going to God and saying, God, give me Your Holy Spirit. Help me to grow. Help me to change. Help me to understand what I need to become so I can become that. If we don't, how will we ever expect to get there? It's like, I bought the ticket. Where's the bus? There's no bus. Well, that's because you're not standing at the bus stop. We got to find the bus stop, brethren. We have to follow the path that's set before us. We have to make sure we are making the right choices. That wonderful blessing that God gave us when He predetermined He was going to call a people. By His choice, He was going to gather together with His Spirit and teach them His ways. And here we sit today, brethren, those people that have been called, that have been given that opportunity. That's why you're here. That's why you're in this room. Because God chose you. You didn't walk in and go, hey, they got free food in there? Let's go sit down. I can sit there for an hour and a half and get some free food. Let's go sit there. I don't think we have any of those. So we're here for a purpose. We're here because God chose us. Are we doing all we can to let His light shine through us in all things? And you know, this always struck me. And so, as a reminder, I want to ask you all to remember this. When you look at a light, what do you hear? I don't hear anything. God tells us to be a light to the world, yet lights don't make any noise. So, if it's working properly, you don't hear anything. You're just able to find your way because of the brightness it puts out. Huh. That's how we should be, with God's light shining in us. Anyone that comes in contact with us sees an example, a brightness that is God-like in all respects. Not because we open our mouths and try to preach them and change them and show them where they're wrong. And no, that's trying to show that we know more than them. See, we have to understand that when God wants us to be a light and He wants our brightness to shine because it's His Spirit flowing through us, not us, then our example, our character, our humility, our passion, our love for one another, our patience, our endurance, our kindness, our goodness, our faithfulness to our co-workers, to our friends and loved ones, but most importantly, our faithfulness to God, all of these things brighten the path that they see before them because we are then truly a light. But you know, when you hear a light bulb, when you hear it and it starts to buzz and it starts to make a noise, you know it's about to go out. You know it's about to fail and you're going to have to replace it. Is that what you want God to do? To say, they're buzzing too loud. They're making too much noise. They're trying to be their own light, so we're going to have to remove them. See, that's not the direction I want to go. I would rather try and be a light by my example than by trying to show somebody how smart I am or how, you know, let me correct your way of life for you. You know, we have to remember that, brethren. Remember, when you want to show a light, God's light, we have to do it the right way. We don't want God to replace us or lose our way because we become so wrapped up in ourselves, our ways, and the cares of this world. Our calling and our passion for the way of God is shown by developing the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. And we do so by the choices we make. They're not predetermined. They're choices. And we all have to make the right ones. There's a powerful passage in Colossians 1 that I would like to read to remind us. If you want to go back there, Colossians chapter 1. Paul is speaking here to the Colossians. And he's thankful for their faith, thankful for their dedication, how they seek to walk worthy of their calling, how they seek to do God's will. And so Paul speaks to them in the beginning of Colossians and Colossians 1. And you know, I would hope that for all of us, if Paul were standing up here right now, he would say these same words to all of us. That we could see and understand what it means passionately to be a part of God's family. That we could grow and do the same as he asks of them. Colossians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Murfreesboro. Is that in your Bible? Oh. Must be a new Murfreesboro version. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Brethren, we have been chosen by God through his mercy to have the chance to be a part of his family, to obtain salvation before Christ returns, to live a way of life that is not predetermined from the beginning how we will live, but was predetermined that we would have the choice to live a right way, God's way, making right choices daily that are worthy of our calling. God never predetermined the existence of every person, for that would take all free choice away from the conception of every life. I'm glad my parents had a choice. They had a choice to have another child. Now, I didn't come out as a girl, and I hope they can accept that because I'm not making any changes now. We're not going to change any of that. So I'm hoping that they can live with the fact that they made a choice to have another child, and that child turned out to be a boy instead of a girl. But God doesn't guarantee that everyone he calls to salvation will be in his kingdom. When God chooses to call us, he extends to us the chance to be a part of his first fruits. Brethren, we still have to choose. We must choose whether we are going to respond to his calling or not. We have to. That's that free moral agency. Are we going to do it the right way or not? God will not force his Spirit upon anyone. We must continue to choose the way of life by being faithful and reaching forward to his ways. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. Verse 4 of Hebrews 6, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." Brethren, we have to be careful that we don't lose our way. We have to be careful that we don't give up what we received. Not to give up. Not to make a choice that's going to cost us our salvation. Every day we live, we have choices to make. We have to be careful we're making the right ones. We have to work daily to overcome the temptations and make sure we keep God firmly planted first and foremost in our lives. When we humbly and gladly strive to serve God, he grants us many opportunities to serve. Our time is our own, and how we choose to live it is just that. It's our choice. Let us hope we can find the time and courage to do it God's way, brethren. Make the right choice, and you will be ready for Christ's return.